Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Nitan.
And this is Stories from the East and West, telling you little known stories from Central and Eastern Europe that changed our world.
For the past 3.5 years, we've had the pleasure of meeting some of you, our listeners, by mail, on Facebook, and at conferences. A few people even popped into our office while visiting Warsaw. From those many meetings and encounters, we learned one thing. All of you have amazing stories to tell, and many of you have incredible family histories and backgrounds.
Nitan and I are no different. I was born and raised in London, but to a Polish family. Meanwhile, Nitan was born in New York to American parents and came to Poland when she was 5. She went on to become far more Polish than me, I have to say.
This is why today we're sharing a story that both of us can relate to. It's the story of a London-based film and TV director who spent a good portion of his life pondering the nature of his identity.
Coming up on Stories from the East and West.
Zlin, Praha, Warszawa, Madrid, London, Paris, New York, Casablanca.
Where you see a kind of totality of the human presence.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is exactly
what
Stories from the Eastern West.
My name is Piotr Skopiak. I was born in 1966 of Polish parents. Both my parents were born in Poland. They came to England after the war. And I have a brother and sister also born in London, England. The Polish community in London is the political emigres after the Second World War. So briefly, my parents, or in my mother's case more so, she was deported to the Soviet Union when the Soviets invaded Poland in 1939. She then, after the amnesty that was given by the Soviets after Nazi Germany invaded Russia, she then made her way to Persia. She was then under the auspices of the British Army. They then were, you know, in the care of the British Army until the end of the war. They then came to England. They were demobbed in England, but because Poland was given to the Soviet Union and was still under communist rule, they could not go back. That is a story that is kind of the story of most of the post-war Polish emigres.
If you want to know more about this background story, you should go back a few episodes in our feed and listen to the one called Orphans. It tells the firsthand tale of 4 members of the same group, how they managed to get themselves out of the Soviet Union and ended up in New Zealand. A great portion of it overlaps with the story of Piotr's parents.
So it's not an economic migration. It was a political migration, if you like. And they stayed in England and they created these Polish communities, of which I became a member, born into. So born in England, but born into a Polish community, a very strong Polish community. When I was growing up, everything was Polish at home. I didn't learn any English until I went to English school. My brother and sister were older than me, so they were already speaking English, but everything at home was Polish. It's only when I went to English school that obviously I realized I was different, I suppose. And obviously it was a different name. I didn't speak English. I only understood English, which is funny to think now. But always at that point, you felt you were slightly different to everybody else. So as far as activities goes, the main one was Polish school. So whereas all my friends would have the weekend off, Saturday morning, we would all go off to Polish schools. And we would have lessons from, as I remember, 9 o'clock till 1 o'clock. And they would be Polish history, geography, religion, and language, obviously. So all the kind of cultural lessons. Sunday obviously was church because it's a Catholic community. And I was an altar boy as well at that time. So as you can see, you know, and yeah, the weekends were very much sort of everything Polish. The school I was at, there was a particularly good musician and a particularly good dance choreographer who got together and created a dance group called Karolinka.
Anyway, here to teach us a traditional Polish folk dance is Karolinka. Thank you.
And I became a member of that. You know, all my friends were at the dance group, and it was a great time. And we traveled to Poland, and we even gave shows at the Albert Hall in London. And we traveled around Europe to Polish communities to dance. So it was a very successful group, amateur group, and it was just, you know, a lifestyle. It absolutely kind of formed how I sort of felt about a lot of things. And obviously it influenced what I do now, because I work in film and television, and I can say that that would not have happened if I hadn't joined Karolinka. Yeah, I mean, I had English friends, obviously, from English school. And, you know, those are the friends that I played football with. I didn't really spend time with them outside of school, though, because all that time was taken up by my Polish friends. So we would literally meet up every week. Most people have a kind of a close group of friends, and those were the friends that I spent time with. And I still do. Those are my strongest sort of friends. I still spend time with them. And that's that, you know, we've had so many experiences together, that's never going to change. So these are the kind of friends that, you know, even if you don't see for 10 years, when you do see them, you pick up where you left off and it feels as if you just saw them yesterday. These are kind of the strong bonds from childhood, true friends. That was always the problem, if you like, with English friends, because they didn't understand the Polish thing. You know, they had no awareness of the strength of the Polish community. And to be honest, you know, in the 70s and 80s, because Poland was part of the Soviet Union, joking aside, most English people didn't know where Poland was or what Poland was. Was it actually a country or was it just part of Russia? So I had a lot of that as well. And that fed into this thing of when you're younger, you know, I'm different, I speak Polish, what's the point? Because Poland's under communist rule, we're never going to go there. You know, what's the point? You know, French, German kind of made sense, but Polish, what's the point of that? The two worlds, if you like, collided there. So I suppose that's why those friendships were stronger, because we all had similar experiences. Now, looking back on it, obviously, and as you grow up, your problems were that, what were you? Were you English or were you Polish? At that time, when I was growing up, obviously, you're just a child. You go with what's around you. You're not really aware of the significance of that. You know, there was a kind of cultural conflict that happened, in that we're not really sure what we were. To our parents, we were Polish. But obviously we were born in England and grew up in an English culture as well as a Polish culture. So you had that, you know, a slight cultural conflict there. I suppose I've always felt like an outsider to a degree in an English setting. I feel very comfortable, but you're always slightly different. But that's not just for Poles now. That's any ethnic group, I think, has the same cultural conflict, I suppose. I was very surprised, because when I made my first film, and there's a cultural conflict sort of within that, and I thought that was very specific to the Polish community, And when I was showing that to other ethnic communities, they were saying, that's just like us. So they were having exactly the same sort of conflicts with their parents and with their friends. So their interview would be very similar to this.
For Piotr and his friends, the situation was even harder, since everything was, or at least seemed, temporary.
My parents and their generation didn't want to stay in England. They had to stay in England, if you like, because they couldn't go home. So that's a slightly different take on why they stayed and how they built their lives here. Because the first few years, they were all expecting at some point, possibly, to go back to Poland. That never happened. So a lot of them weren't expecting to stay in England for the next 50 years and create their lives because they didn't know what was going to happen. Possibly the Soviet Union was going to leave Poland or something would happen. So there was always this kind of edge. They weren't thinking too far ahead because they didn't know what was going to happen.
But the ultimate dream was to go back one day.
In the first few years, I think. I think as things progressed, that hope diminished. They thought that, well, if it wasn't going to happen soon, it probably wouldn't happen. So I think they came to accept that things are the way they are. But yeah, always, there was always a hope that Poland would be free again. And obviously, most of them lived to see the day when Poland was free again and was democratic and was a free country again. But that's what they were working towards always. That's a big deal. Definitely. It's not something that we've come here, we're making a life for ourselves and so on. That was always underlying sort of their thinking because they were, if you like, representing a free Poland outside of Poland. And it was a political lobby as well. The Polish government in exile was still here. My father ended up being the last foreign minister in that government before the seals of government were handed over to President Lech Wałęsa. Even more so than in America, in England, it was almost like a representation of pre-war Poland, that generation that was deported, well, in most cases kind of liquidated or ethnic cleansed, were existing to remind everybody that there was a free Poland, that there is a free Poland, that Poland is occupied and it's not democratic. So all that influences your upbringing and your experience. And this community is part of Polish history. It's not separate from Polish history, it's part of Polish history because these are the children, the families of Polish officers, of the Poles that fought from 1939 to 1945. You know, under the auspices of the British Army, you know, the pilots, the paratroopers, the tankers, you know, the people that fought under Monte Cassino. You know, these are all descendants of these people, of the people that fought for Poland. So it's a huge deal. And it's something that is very unique and something that should always be remembered.
As a child, Piotr only heard about Poland. It was more of a concept than something he had experience of. But one day in his teens, he got a chance to actually travel there with Karolinka, the folk dance group he was part of.
It was strange. It was, my first memory is walking off the plane and just lines of soldiers. So outside the airport. So there's your first impression of landing in Poland. And then the fact that everybody speaks Polish. it was obvious, but it's weird. And then the overwhelming, overwhelming impression I had was obviously here, whoever speaks Polish is an aunt or a friend or somebody you know. So by default, you think everybody who speaks Polish, you must know them. So to go to Poland and everybody speaks Polish, it's like you know everybody. it's a really odd thing to explain. You just felt very comfortable because everybody spoke Polish. You know, the taxi driver, the shopkeeper, whoever, you already felt like you knew them. Here you're going from a kind of world of abundance to people not having every queuing up in shops and the whole thing looking very, 20, 30 years out of date. It felt quite surreal. it was a completely different experience. And again, an overwhelming kind of sense I had when I came back from Poland is that everybody should go to Poland and they'll never complain ever again, because it was so kind of tough and so different. I was there when I was young and we just thought it was fun. It was a holiday. But on the other hand, you know, when we were going into Pewek shops and buying stuff and then coming out, you know, people would look at us, you know, who are they? You know, where'd they get the money from? They're just kids, all this sort of thing. So now looking back on it, probably feel a bit guilty about it all. It was a good time, but also a very weird time. But I'm glad I went to Poland in the 80s because, as I say, you understood what they were all going through, what the Poles were kind of fighting for back in London and in England, and what we were trying to fix, if you like. So, it was also kind of sobering experience as well.
Jilts told us a fascinating story that illustrated how the two worlds were separated. After the visit to Poland, Karolinka invited a similar group there to come to London. But the trip wasn't a very happy one for the Polish visitors, who were given instructions from back home on how to behave.
They literally came off the plane in the airport into a coach where they couldn't look out, straight into their hotel, and they weren't allowed to go out and see what London looked like. So a lot of people had no idea what the West actually looked like. And that was also strange, because they were told that it's even worse in the West. Not that it's better, for obvious reasons. When you could finally leave Poland and come to London, come to England and travel, you know, you had the older generation, you know, landing in London, going to Oxford Street, and they were fainting in shops because they just couldn't believe it. They just said, but we were told it was even worse here than it was in Poland. They just couldn't comprehend, you know, what they'd been told was all lies, and this was the truth. It was just too much.
Meanwhile, the Polish community had to be very self-sufficient, financially of course, but also in building its own Polish universe on British soil.
I remember asking my mother, and she said, no, we never asked for anything. We were just grateful that they allowed us to stay, even though they felt quite betrayed that Poland had been given away to the Soviet Union and that they wouldn't recognize the things that the Soviets had done to Poles. But on the other side, you know, my mom said they were always grateful that they were allowed to stay and that they were kind of given a home. They weren't kind of kicked out, because they could have been kicked out of England. That would have been even worse. As I said, I don't think at that point, you know, my parents' generation, I think there was a definite goal to kind of keep the Polish community going, but also just for themselves. Because remember, my mum was only in her teens when she came to England. They're also young people, so they want to go out, they want to meet people, they want to get married, you know, all that, and go to parties. So they had that social life as well. So they wanted that. And obviously that's all their friends were Polish. So they would all sort of meet up together. Don't get me wrong, that it was just all political and it was all about Polish patriotism. In the end, it was just to have a life as well and to create a life, because they were all young people, not just the older colonels and majors that had fought in the war. For my parents, it was always parties. So obviously all dressed up in evening dress, and that would become a big deal. And that was a regular kind of occurrence. That was one of the reasons, you know, Gmina existed, to bring them all together and to organize events for themselves. So yeah, it was a very kind of lively social life. I definitely remember that as a child, of, you know, my parents constantly going out, dressing up and going out. So my mum in sort of long dresses and my dad in his dinner jacket and so on. I absolutely remember that a lot. That was constant. Yeah. I always remember, especially from a Polish point of view, a lot of kind of social, a lot of dancing, a lot of singing, a lot of food and drink. You know, that is a constant, you know, throughout my life, really, and continues to be.
Piotr is in his 50s now, but even after all those years, he still feels a certain cultural conflict inside of him.
Yeah, well, I mean, what I say now is I'm a Londoner. more so than I am an Englishman. But I am British. There's no question about it. I'm born and bred British, and then much more now as I got older, and I'm much more involved sort of in Polish matters now than I was when I was younger. Yeah, I mean, it's the best way to describe it is that when I go to Poland, I'm clearly English. But when I'm in England, I've got the Polish thing going on. So you are caught between the two cultures. But, you know, on paper, the culture that has the most influence on me would be the British culture. You know, I'm definitely a British Pole, if you like. And that's different to being a Pole. Now, to think that I knew Polish before I knew any English seems weird. But thanks to my parents, I speak Polish, and thank God for that. Because then without that language, I would be very much English and not Polish, because it's the language that allows me to kind of appreciate the culture. Rather than thinking it's a bad thing, I kind of think it's a good thing, because obviously I can be Polish when I want to be Polish and English when I want to be English. You're getting the benefit of two cultures rather than one. So whereas some people struggled with that, I know friends struggled with that, you know, in the end, you realize that it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You know, everybody wants to belong. And, you know, who are you? It's always that question. Are you English? Are you Polish? Well, I'm kind of both. And that's not a bad thing. Once you start talking about it, once you start articulating the history, you realize how it's so rich. That history, that generation is so unique. It will never kind of be repeated, because it was a very unique moment in time. And I see that so very clearly now when I look back at it from that time when the Soviet Union invaded Poland and they were deported to where they are now. I mean, just, I always remember this, that I'll never really understand or feel what my parents must feel or must have felt to be taken from their home at such a young age with their parents, you know, bombs dropping left, right and center, you know, being deported into the middle of nowhere, then coming out of there as refugees, starving, with malaria, all these sort of diseases and so on that they went through, then to come to England, not be allowed to go home, to have to create a new life in a new country where they don't know the language. They're then told not to talk about their experience. They then get married, raise their children, lobby for this country that at the moment doesn't exist, you know, in a political manner, to then see that country finally sort of return, but that country is no longer the country that they left. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's a hugely important experience that I'm really glad that you're doing this.
This episode of Stories from the East and West was brought to you by Culture PL, the flagship brand of the Adam Mickiewicz Institute. It was hosted by Nitzan Reisner and me, Adam Żuławski.
Piotr was interviewed by Karolina Jackowiak for the Poles in South London Local Heroes Archive Oral History Project, with additional audio mixing by Magda Jarczyk. The story was written and scored by Wojciech Oleksiak.
We'd like to thank the Poles in South London organization, especially Marta Sordil and Łukasz Wołągiewicz, for reaching out and offering this incredible story to us.
And if you want to learn anything else about Poles in South London, as well as about other people who, like Piotr's parents, fled the USSR with the Anders Army, then our show notes have a lot of links for you. They can be found in your podcast app or on the Stories from the East and West website at sftew.com.
Next month, we'll be commemorating Holocaust Memorial Day. We'll be talking to the author of a very well-known story about a former concentration camp inmate who, after the war is long over, unexpectedly meets one of the camp guards.
Make sure to subscribe or check your feed in a month. See you then. And from the Stories from the Eastern West team, we wish you a happy and healthy new year. Bye.